You have questions. Find your answers at starspsychics.com.
Hello, I'm Natalie, owner of starspsychics.com. I am dedicated to providing affordable access to spiritual advisors. Here are two satisfied clients who will tell you what it's like to work with me.
Quoting Jackie.
It's a comfortable site. Everybody is so friendly. They treat you like family.
Barb added this about Natalie.
She's a kind and caring person who gives accurate readings.
You have questions? Find your answers today at starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Natalie, also known as Starscast. I'm waiting for my guest to arrive, but before that, I'm going to tell you what I told her. We have a storm coming. You know, I'm right really close to Savannah, Georgia. I sent her an email, and I was laughing. I said, well, so long as I don't lose power, I can always talk in the closet. My cat and I will go in the closet and close the door, and I can still do the show. And that's the truth, because I can do it. But anyway, so nice to have everybody today. It's a little bit earlier again for my show, and I'm going to have another one on Friday that will go 3 to 4, looks like. Yes, 3 to 4. I'm trying to do them a little earlier. It makes it better for Candy and better for me, and some of my listeners would like to hear it a little bit earlier if they're further away from us, not even out west, but just beyond, like the other side, east. So I'd like to tell you tonight about Mystic Living Today. It's up. The new issue is up. Another big one. Very proud of it. I'm always proud of it. It's something that I really love to do. Everybody knows that. And, of course, stars with a Z, psychics.com. I've got a few new readers on there. I could bring a few more on, and I'm kind of holding off. We've been doing a lot of behind-the-scenes work, trying to, get everything in motion and pick up speed and be where we're supposed to be. And you know me, or if you don't know me, I never give up. I mean, no, never. So my guest just sent me an email. She said she's running a few minutes late. That is okay. No problemo, because we know I can talk. So talking about this storm, it's a tropical storm. We've had some bad ones here before, but I thought about putting my tower up on my desk, but my son said, nah, I don't think so. So I'll watch. If I have to, I'll lift it up, put it on the desk so it doesn't get wet. That's my prize. And, of course, I'll take Mushy and go in the closet. But anyways, I have a lot of trees on my property, probably the most of anybody, and that's what I really worry about. But here in this area of South Carolina, I mean, I think a lot of people have flood insurance. I do, and you're regular homeowners. So, you know, I'm pretty well protected, but it's just, you don't want anything to happen to your house. I mean, gosh, I take all my monitors and my tower. Oh, God, what a nightmare. So I don't want to think about it. Anyways, that's what's going on now. About the 20th of the month, now I'll send out reminders again for the next issue of Mystic Living Today. And I've got some of my regulars, of course, that always contribute. Those are the featured ones. They do it every month, and they're just wonderful. And, of course, I have a Ricky, Rainbow Rose, who used to do all my reviews, but now she does, she works for somebody that does work on A Course in Miracles, which I don't know if you've never read that book, but it's really awesome. You know what I really like about that book is the pages. They're almost like onion skin. They're so, so nice. And you know me and how a book feels. That's so important. I like to feel, I really like that book. As a matter of fact, it's on my dresser. I got it from somebody, and I have the Bible in a drawer that I got from somebody. So you know where I'm coming from here. So let's see. What other than that, we still have the three free minutes for first-time clients, one time only. And, you know, sometimes I'll see them try to, you know, do a second account, and yours truly is right on top of that. I watch everything, and I had Tony fix it so that you don't get the minutes. You can open the account, but you don't get the minutes. I mean, I have to do that. I mean, after all, this is a business, and you don't cheat a business. So I'm trying to think what else. It's a little dark here. Not really too bad. I don't think the rain's going to come until later on tonight, I'm hoping. But, you know, I hate when it rains at night like that. I would rather be able to see the rain so I can kind of, like, you know, look out the window and say, well, okay, it's getting a little flooded here. We might get our road flooded. We've been having trouble with the drains at the other end. And they were cleaning it out, but you know how that goes. I mean, I don't know how good they're doing it or whatever. But let's see, what else can I talk about? You can always call in, by the way. The call-in number is 347-838-9736, and it looks like my guest has arrived. So let's bring her in. You're going to love this lady. She's going to talk about emotional repattering. So let's get her on.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, this must be Lisa.
It is. Nice to meet
you. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
And I'm not in the closet talking to you, so we don't have to worry.
Okay, what's happening with the storm? Is it blowing
over? Well, it's going to rain really hard tonight. I mean, we don't have any tornado warnings or anything. That's all been lifted. The worst is over, and you know, we've been lucky. All the years I've been here, we've never been in a direct hit. If it was a direct hit, we'd be gone, and we wouldn't stay here.
What town are you in?
No. I'm in South Carolina.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
yeah,
I'm right, you know, if you've ever been to Savannah, it's got like a little hook in the United States. That's where I am, right there. I'm about 10 minutes from Savannah, from the border. So what they get, we get. I mean, it's always the same kind of thing. But, I don't know. I feel pretty blessed. Anyways, I'm so happy to have you on. How do you pronounce your last name, Lisa? I want to say it right.
Samet.
Okay, tonight I have Lisa Samet. She's a naturopathic healer, and she's written a book called Emotional Repattering. I should say that right. And I was
You're
looking at it.
You're not the first person that's on that title.
just to say that title. Yeah, pattern.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. let's just change the pattern, right?
Exactly.
But anyways, that's got to be tough, Lisa, for anybody, and we'll get into that. But first, I want to know, how did you start doing what you're doing? I mean, you help people, not the traditional, medicines. You do things the other way.
Right.
And a lot of people don't understand that. And so talk a little bit about that. But how did you get into this anyways in the first place?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I'm a naturopathic doctor. You know, there are about half a dozen naturopathic medical schools in North America. I went to the one in Arizona, Southwest College. And, you know, how I actually got into it is I went to see somebody who was a homeopath when I was in my late 20s. She was recommended to me by somebody, and I thought, okay, whatever. You know, I didn't really want to take mainstream medications and whatever. Well, I wasn't very sick, but I had my little things. And I ended up going into this woman's office, and she did like this two-hour interview asking me all kinds of what seemed to be unrelated questions. And at the end of which, she gave me this little bottle with these little white sugar pills in them, and she told me to take one every week. And I thought to myself, well, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I just wasted my money. And I went home, and I was like, all right, whatever. And I took one every week, and we were supposed to do a follow-up, I think, in a month. And I went back to see her, and she takes out her notes, and she said, okay, so how's this? You know, referring to one of my complaints. And I said, oh, actually, you know, it's funny. I haven't had that since we met. And she said, okay, and what about this? And she named one of the other complaints I had. And I said, gee, you know, that's interesting. I don't think I felt that. Well, needless to say, you know, she goes through the list of whatever, you know, 5, 6, 8 things that, you know, little stuff that, you know, I had complained about. And they were like almost all better. And I was like, what did you give me that I only had to take one a week? I mean, that is such a different paradigm shift, right, than mainstream medicine.
Right.
And, you know, she began to explain homeopathy to me, which was like super interesting, you know, which is that the remedies get the body to heal itself. So that's what we all want, obviously. We don't want to be reliant on certain external, drugs or whatever for the rest of our lives. And she also explained to me that one remedy treats the whole person. So, you know, if I have 6 complaints, she's not giving me 6 different things. She's giving me one thing for me. And I just loved that idea. And I was so taken with the whole thing, I started buying books on homeopathy, started studying and reading about homeopathy. And at this point, I was working for Procter & Gamble, like, you know, the belly of the beast, doing marketing for them and, you know, not really loving the job because, you know, who's going to get excited about another fragrance of shampoo? And you know, as time went, I just said, you know, wait, I'm wasting my brain here. I need to be doing something that's more meaningful to me. And I ended up deciding to go back to naturopathic school to learn more about health and medicine and, you know, homeopathy in addition to, you know, all different other kinds of alternative modalities. So that's the short answer to how I came here.
Yeah, but, you know, it's interesting because I was sitting here. I went to a doctor once, and I had acupuncture. He was a traditional doctor. But mm-hmm. I had gotten a virus several years before that, almost died. And so he wanted to see, this is just an offshoot from what you're saying, to see if my liver was affected. Well, we knew it was. But by goodness, I mean, he didn't have to convince me. Put in all these little needles, right? They don't hurt.
Right.
And when he poked a few of them, he said, that hurts, doesn't it? And I said, oh, yeah, more so than the other ones. And he told me, now he, like I said, he was traditional. He'd give you, you know, all the regular stuff, you know, to take for a cold and antibiotics
and
all that.
And,
which
know,
ends up,
right.
really ends up hurting something else because you are changing the normalcy in your body by adding that because
right.
and you can't tell me if you take one thing it's not affecting something else. I mean that just makes sense because we're all the body
right.
is all connected, you know. So and
right.
then I moved here to South Carolina and I went to a non-traditional doctor for hormones because I was having
right.
problems. And he, you know, he took a blood test and all of that, but he was going to give me something, and I don't know what it was. And the only reason I didn't go with him, Lisa, is because my insurance would never have covered it, and it was very expensive.
Right.
And that I think
right.
that's what happens
so, yeah,
to
some
a
of
lot
those
of
things.
People. Yeah, yeah. So,
right. well,
but
no.
I've had a little experience, and I myself would go to somebody. Because there's a part of me that knows a little something going on, that something affects something, that affects something. And if you're taking things that, and then you read all of these things on Google, well, you could die, you have shortness of breath, you'll have high blood pressure, have all these
yeah.
side effects. Well,
right, exactly. So, you know, yeah, you fix one thing and you create three other problems. And
yes.
But, you
and
know,
I'm
I think
thinking,
more
oh,
than anything.
You could die? Well, no, I'm not taking that one. You know?
It's not worth it.
No,
I think more
no,
than
no,
anything,
no, no.
what people resonate with in this kind of medicine is that, in theory, if I'm successful with a patient, they don't need to take my remedies anymore. They're just fully healed. You know, they're better. You know, unlike,
uh-huh.
for example, let's say you have high blood pressure and you go into mainstream medicine, they're going to put you on high blood pressure medication, and, you know, nobody thinks they're ever getting off that. There's no secret there that it's not fixing the problem. It's just managing the problem. And I think people are fed up with that. They want to just be well, and they want to help their body to heal and support their body to heal. And that's what naturopathic medicine does the best. In my
and that's
view.
The key, is
so,
just managing
yeah.
your issue. That's the key right there. That's it. That's the word.
Yes.
That's what it does.
Yeah, because the body wants to heal, right? The body wants to
yes.
heal.
Well, I hope so. My goodness.
Needs a little
yes.
push to do it. Well, we
yeah,
all have a life
once
force.
Once I had that acupuncture, that kind of, I started thinking the other way, and I was selling natural products anyways, and he was in my downline, and I had a lot of long talks with him, and he told me, he says, you know, I'm going off on the other end here. He said, I'm just pretty sick of all this stuff. And he
yeah.
says there has to be a better way. There are plants and things that can help. I mean, what did they do years and years and years ago? They didn't have antibiotics if they got a cold or a sore throat. What did they do?
Right, well, and I think probably also the death rate was a little bit, you know, or the,
it
you
was,
know, the longevity
because, yeah,
rate was a little bit lower. So, yeah,
yeah,
but, you know, I mean, they, you know, at other points in medicine, they would bleed you, they would, you know, do kind of like ridiculous things that now we know are stupid and
yeah.
don't heal anything. And, you know, maybe with time in the future, we will look back on these days of how we've treated people with illnesses and we'll say, gee, that was dumb. Let's hope that medicine evolves.
Well, you know, you want it to, right? You really do. You want it to. I mean, I would love, you know, and I'm a firm believer, like in the right kind of vitamins. I feel that I'm not a vegan, but yet I don't you know, I'm kind of going off that end now because I watch all about the animals and everything, and I'm really behind all of that, and it's pulling me away. I mean, I used to eat just chicken. I don't eat beef or pork because of when I was really sick. I can't digest it properly,
right.
So it makes me sick. So that was kind of good. That was my saving grace. But, I don't know. I mean, I love my vegetables. I love my greens and, you know, and I have almonds every day. And I noticed, I'll tell you something, this is a little tidbit, my skin was really not good. Well, I take about, I don't know, maybe I have 20 almonds a day, maybe a little more, depends. I'm going to tell you something, Lisa. My skin looks really good now.
Wow.
And that is one of the things, if you read about it, it'll tell you, you know, almonds have that ability. I just did it because, being what I'm learning about, I know that it's good for you. And so, and doing, you know, my broccoli. I love steamed vegetables. Oh, gosh, yes. I could just eat a plate of those. You probably love to hear that. This girl's for me here because she does all this. I do. I really, really do. And I watch my bread intake, and it's always wheat. I never eat white. I don't eat white rice.
Right.
I don't. I just don't. Well, I learned something. White rice sticks to your insides. It's not good to eat white rice, people.
Right.
I learned that.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and diet, exercise, stress management, sleep. These are the four pillars of health, as I like to call them. And if we compromise on those things, it's going to be hard for the body to heal.
That's right. You know, and I think everybody, the last year and a half or however long it's been tough for a lot of people, I know. And let's go ahead here. Is there a place where people can go to look for some of these natural things? Of course, I know that they can talk to you because I'm on your site right now. And that is Lisa, LISASAMET.com. And, I click on everything. I'm known for that. I just go click, click, click. I want to know what everything is. But I have three monitors, so I can do that. You're on the right over here. Your site is.
Right.
And so what if, say, somebody like myself, okay? Say I got a really bad sore throat. I've gotten them in the past. Okay. What? If I can, I would talk to you. What would you recommend? And I'm not telling you to diagnose, but I'm just saying, would I come and make an appointment with you? I know you do Skype and you do all of that, but I'm known to lose my voice a lot too. So, yes. So,
primarily I'm a homeopath, right? So most people don't really know the difference between naturopathy and homeopathy. So I'll just give you a two-minute download about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of people find that confusing. So naturopathic medicine is kind of an umbrella term for a whole group of different types of treatment modalities, right? So naturopathic medicine is more of an approach that we take to the patient, a holistic approach, an approach where we're trying to find the cause of the problem and change things at that deep level, not just manage symptoms. So when you say, oh, I'm going to see a naturopath, it doesn't necessarily say what type of treatment you're going to do, because underneath that umbrella, there's all kinds of different treatments. There's homeopathy that we're trained in. There's nutritional medicine. There's herbal medicine. There's mind-body medicine. There's even acupuncture. There's physical medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of different things that you're trained in a four-year naturopathic medical program. So it's not obvious that, you know, when you go to see a naturopath, what exactly their specialty is or what they're going to do for you. Underneath that umbrella, I'm a homeopath. So what does that actually mean? It is a treatment modality. You know, there are homeopathic medicines. They're gentle. They treat the whole person. They try to get the body to heal itself, as we spoke about. And I like that best, even though I've been trained in all the other things, right? I like that best because, for me, that's deep healing, and that's what we all want. We don't want to be stuck on pills the rest of our lives, whether it's natural pills or pharmaceutical pills. You know, we want the body to just work right. So that's, you know, kind of the interesting thing about naturopathic medicine and, you know, homeopathy, which is what I'm mostly doing. So, you know, if you said to me, oh, I have a sore throat and, you know, what would you suggest I take? Unfortunately, in homeopathy land, that's a hard question to answer because we treat the person, not the name of the problem. So there's no, like, sore throat remedy, you know, and why is that? Because if 10 people with a sore throat come into my office, I am quite sure they're all going to get a different remedy. Why is that? Because every person manifests their sore throat in a different way, right? Some it's on the right side,
right.
Some it's on the left side, some have swollen glands, some it's worse at night, some it's better from a cold drink. All these different things make the description of the problem very unique to the individual. And so with homeopathy, we're always trying to find a homeopathic remedy that well matches the person, not the part. And so that makes it a little tough for me to then say, oh, you know, Natalie, you have a sore throat, go take X, Y, and Z. Because I don't know the details of your sore throat, and I would need to interview you a bit to understand that better so I could make a very specific recommendation for you.
Okay.
Does that make sense.
And also, people have to understand, there won't be side effects like, you know, I can't take ibuprofen. I discovered that a long time ago. I swell up. And I, you know, so anything that's like that, I can't take. You know, I had a tooth extracted last year, and it was a root fracture. And so he said to me, what can you take? And I said, well, a lot of things I can't take. Thank goodness I can't take penicillin, which is probably good for me because the side effects are tremendous. And we didn't figure that out until I had some allergy tests, and I'm allergic to mold. So my doctor kept giving me penicillin. And I stayed sick, and we couldn't figure out why.
How did you get to the bottom of it?
Even on my part, even me asking all the questions, he and I figured it out. Oh, my God. I said, oh, my God. You know? So you don't have those kinds of things. So you would interview me, and you'd say, okay, well, when did this start? How many days have you had it? Where does it hurt the most?
Right. Where does it hurt?
Your
what
glands
does the pain feel like? What makes it better? Yes.
All those kinds of things.
All that information.
And you come to a conclusion.
I would choose a remedy that matches your complaint, your specific complaint, the way you are. So it's a very individualized system of medicine. It's not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing.
And that's what's nice about it. It's not like, well, everybody goes in with this and they get the same thing.
That's why I don't see people for 4 minutes at a time, right? Because if all you're going to get is an antibiotic prescription, nobody needs to spend any time with you. Oh, sore throat, here's the script, goodbye. Right? For me, I get to know the person behind the sore throat, and that makes my job more interesting, and it also makes my prescriptions more effective. So I think it's a win-win for everybody in that case.
Yes. So now tell me about these prescriptions. You actually have to write a prescription, and they have to be filled at certain pharmacies or what?
No, not at all. You can buy homeopathic remedies in most pharmacies in the States. You can even get them on Amazon, believe it or not.
Everything is on Amazon, yes. Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
That's it. So, I mean, no, they're really easy to come by, and they're really cheap, like $5-$10 a bottle. So, yeah, it's not going to be set you back too badly.
Right now. Do you get a lot of people to come and see you via whatever means you have that can't come to see you in person? You see them. I'm just trying to let people know if they would like to be introduced to this kind of thing. How do they reach you? Can they actually do a session with you to find out? Something? Yeah, they do. Okay.
I deal with many people with you know, chronic disease, rheumatoid arthritis, migraines, menopausal problems. I mean, you know, I've been in practice over 20 years, so I've seen pretty much everything. The best way is to contact our office. All that information is at lisasammet.com, and talk to our receptionist, our office manager, find out, you know, how it works, and, we go from there. It's easy with Skype and FaceTime and Zoom, right? We're all gotten accustomed to that these days.
Oh, gosh. Isn't everybody, you know, it's unreal, isn't it? It really, really is unreal what we can do now. Who would have thought? Zoom's been around a while, Skype's been around a while, but who would have thought it would be our mode of communication
Totally.
A lot of times. I mean, I was Zooming with my doctor when he just went over my blood work. I wasn't going to go into the office.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
Just,
yeah, no.
I saw him on my phone.
Yeah,
I saw him on my phone.
It's better.
Actually, it's better. It's less stressful, everybody. It really, really is. You don't need to be in the office. Plus, it costs you less money.
Yeah,
bingo.
That's probably true. You know, I think what we sacrifice is a bit of the interpersonal stuff, but I find these venues of Skype and Zoom, you can still get a good feel for the other person.
Well, I'm getting something just from you, just from listening to your voice. And if you saw me, you know what I'm saying? You would say, oh, okay, Natalie, I figured. Like I told you, I lose my voice. Like I can, you know, I do two shows a week now. I have to be careful, but what I do, and I learned this from a singer, she was an opera singer, because I said to her, what happens when you lose your voice? She said, well, I always take honey and tea, lemon honey and tea, before I go on stage. I said, yeah, but what happens after that? Because you use your vocal cords. Like when I'm talking, you know, and I talk a lot, I mean, everybody knows that, but she said, honey. Honey will soothe. So I've had some moments when I would have some trouble, and I have my little little bottle of honey and my spoon, and I take a little bit of that, soothe it, I'm back to normal.
That's a great technique. It's a little handy-dandy home remedy.
It is a home remedy, and, you know, I had even gone to an ear, nose, throat man, and he did a scope. He said, well, maybe there's something going on there, and he did it twice. He says, there's nothing wrong. I said, well, that's good. It's good and it's not.
Yeah.
He said, I think part of it is how you talk, the way you talk. I'd have to go to a speech therapist probably or something.
Yeah.
And he said also, you put a lot into it when you talk. And he said, you know, some people are like a little whisper. Not you. No, not you. Not with your voice. And he said, so, you know, I think if you just find something that's going to soothe it. He didn't give me anything. And he said he thought it could be a little acid reflux, believe it or not. And I looked at him and I said, well, okay. And the girl in the office, she said, well, yeah, that's what he says. And I said, I don't know. I think it would happen all the time, and mine doesn't happen all the time. And you'll hear maybe in my voice tonight, maybe the weather affects it. I don't know. So I'm going to need some kind of remedy here, Lisa. But I thought I have my,
little
jar of honey, and it does a trick.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
But I've lost my voice totally years ago. Doesn't happen now. And you know what else?
That's
I just had this thought. What it could also be is the food you eat. If you know, it can give you more congestion. It can give you more, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's possible. That's possible, right?
Sure. Well, dairy is well known to be a problem for many people in terms of mucus and congestion and things like that. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not one size fits all, but if you have a dairy intolerance, I mean, for sure you're going to have symptoms if you eat it a lot.
Yeah. So, you know, there's all kinds of little things. It works well. I had to use it last week. I think it was probably Friday. I don't know why. As soon as I detected getting a little raspy, oh, yes, it's time. I know the signals, you know. You'll say to me, you know what, Natalie, you better go get a little bit of that honey. I notice in your voice it's changing. But, you know, I have everybody laughing because I could talk the whole hour if I had to. So let's go back to you. I don't want to do that. I want to talk about you. So now, your practice, you have it, you're in Canada, in Montreal, right?
I'm American, but I've been living here for over 20 years, and
oh,
I recently wrote
awesome.
A book, which just got published in April, and so I've been spending a lot of time trying, you know, talking about the book, educating people about the book, and it's been quite a revelation for me.
That's the emotional repattering, right?
That's right. Emotional repatterning is it just launched.
God, I can't
and,
say that. That's a tongue twister. Yeah. Okay. So tell us about that.
Well, you
want to
change
all
the pattern, right? So that's where
and
it comes
it's
from.
Emotional. But I was reading this and I was thinking that's got to be tough to do that. That's because you have triggers, don't you? If you have an emotion, it sets off a trigger and then it sparks something else and it makes you react. Like I catch myself sometimes, if I get sad, yes, people, Natalie does get sad. If I get sad about something, I have to be careful how I think. I have to stop it because I'll carry it over to everything that I know, and I don't like to do that. I wish I would have known this when I was little. However,
yeah, well, we all feel that way. I mean, I think, you know, the premise of the book is that we want to try to understand what's in our deep subconscious mind, right? We're not dealing with the little chitter chatter of the conscious mind, right? So the book goes into a lot of depth about the difference between the conscious and the subconscious mind. And, you know, many techniques and tools and things that people have used, affirmations and various other things, they're really working with the conscious mind, which has its limits. One huge limit of the conscious mind is that it's only aware of about 5% of what goes on in the brain. So when you realize that the subconscious is really plugged into 95% of what's going on, then you realize that the more fruitful place to put your efforts is in changing your subconscious, right? And in your subconscious mind and in mine too are all kinds of beliefs that we have picked up along the course of our lives, mostly about
right.
who we are and ourselves
yep.
and how we should exist in the world and how other people are and all this kind of what I say crap.
No, it's
and,
true.
You know,
it's true.
Carry
you're
this
right.
baggage.
You're absolutely. Yeah,
right.
You're right.
We carry
you're
this
right.
baggage around in our subconscious mind. And we don't even know it's there because it's subconscious, right? We're only able to really know what's in our conscious mind. So the interesting thing about the book and the technique that I'm presenting is it's kind of a new way to try to get more deeply at the problems. Because like you said, you know, you have one thing and it triggers something and then it goes into other things and then you're in the
mm-hmm.
same spiral that is so familiar.
It's a circle.
Right?
You never
like
get
that.
Out of it.
Yeah. Right, so this is a technique to try to get out of it. Instead of doing that spinning in the conscious mind, we try to go to the deeper beliefs and we seek to understand what beliefs do I carry about myself or about the world that prevent me from being free, from feeling happy, from overcoming the obstacles in my life. And this is like a way out of the misery, in my view, because actually it's quite simple. I present a technique toward the end of the book about how people can do this at home. I mean, of course, I do this in my practice, but not everybody has an interest in going there. So this is like an at-home technique, and it's very well described in the book, how we can access the subconscious mind and find out what beliefs we have there that are probably holding us back or distorting our reality. And a pretty simple way to go about changing it and kind of like doing a software upgrade on those beliefs and making them more like the 2021 version of what's really true
yep.
about who I am.
We need a reboot. It's a reboot.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
It, a reboot. I love
well,
that.
Well, you know, like for me
Does
as a little
sense,
girl.
Does that make sense as I've described it?
Yeah. Yeah. Don't you think it's like a reboot? You're rebooting yourself. You want to get out of that pattern that you've had, right? That
exactly.
habit.
And, you know, working with a conscious mind is not the way to do that. And how do we know this? Because we've all tried it without much success. You know, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to start to exercise. I'm not going to snap at my kids. You know, all these great ideas we have, and we're determined. And then, you know, 2 weeks in, we're back to where we were. And it's very discouraging for people. And I would say because it's not about dealing with behaviors or superficial things. It's about going much more deeply to what's underneath, what's at the root of some of those behaviors, and dealing with it there and changing our beliefs about ourselves at that level, and then change on a more superficial level is very easy because there's nothing holding us back.
Exactly. You know, when I was a little girl, I was a loner. I was alone all the time. And, you know, it's really strange, and I'm sure there's a reason for it. As I got older, you know, I don't have a husband now, and I'm alone a lot. And I'm very busy, yes. I mean, I could do a lot. I mean, I could still do work for somebody if I had to, but I'm just, you know, I don't really have to. But I am often bothered about things that I cannot do because I don't have anybody to do them with, like go on trips or go to the movies, which we can. I mean, my friend next door is moving, so I don't have her. I won't have her anymore. And that's really the only issue that I have. So what I have to do is, you know what I do? This is what I do. I sit down and I think about all the people I know all over the world, like yourself, that I have talked to, 196 of them, more than that probably.
Wow.
And I think about all the people that I can reach out to, and I don't have to have them in my house. Most of them I can call on the phone or I can Skype. So when I get to feel like that, I think to myself, you have so many people around you, you couldn't even talk to all of them at one time. There's just so many.
Right.
So that's how I change how I feel. I mean, it might sound
stupid,
that's
great.
That's
one of the things that I'm hearing in that is, you know, trying to have maybe a deep belief of I am my own best friend, right? Because often when we feel upset and we feel like things in the outside world aren't really working for us, I always find that the problem is actually within us, right? It's usually never about the outside and the external world. It's always about us. And so when we try to change a belief and we realize that we are always there for ourselves and we're our own best friend, that feeling of loneliness is easily diminished because we know we always have ourselves. And then from that point, from that place, we then feel very good about reaching out because it's not so much of a need as a want.
Right. And doing the magazine once a month like I do, preparing even weeks before it, I get these beautiful notes from people that sometimes I only talk to them once on the show, but it's like they become my friends because they'll write and say, oh, I wanted to talk to you. I can't wait to hear from you. You know, there's this lady that she's a veterinarian. She just sent me an email. I mean, I get these random emails. It's almost like the universe is saying, well, look, Natalie, I'm going to show you here. You really want to see this? Okay. I'm going to fill that mailbox of yours up with all these beautiful people that you know that you have come to love and they've come to love you. And I don't, you know, and I didn't feel love when I was a little girl. So maybe that's part of my problem is I don't have that.
Yes, I would say so. You know, when we're young,
I just diagnosed
we have a lot of wounds that accumulate.
Well, yes,
I mean, I think you're onto something there. You know, when, you know, none of us grew up with perfect parents, and mostly parents who have had their own miserable childhood and didn't really know much better and just passed on the same crap downward.
Right.
And we suffer from that. So, you know, we can't go back and redo the past. We can't change anybody else. We can't fix our parents. We can't fix anybody. We only have ourselves to work with. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a great place to start.
Well, it really, really is. And see, you're great at, you're also motivational. Because I can hear it in your voice, because you speak the truth. And it's just, there are so many people out there. And you know what else? I'm an empath, and I feel so sorry for everybody. I mean, it's, I can't. And I have to watch. I can't watch YouTube all the time. I can't get on my Instagram and watch all these videos of all these animals because I want to take them home. I want to take care of them. Little fawns.
Right.
I'm appalled at things that are going on. They've always gone on. In the world, Lisa, I know that. They've always gone on. But now they're brought to the fore more so than ever before. And more people are taking notice of it. And, I don't, it's just appalling to me what happens. And I think I have helped myself in a way. But really, it's people like you that I have on the show and talking to everybody. And I hear different views on things. Because, you know, when you're by yourself, and this is for everybody to listen, when you're by yourself, you can think the craziest things. Your mind can go off the deep end and say, well, I'm in South Carolina, but it's going to snow tomorrow. No, it's not going to snow tomorrow, Natalie. It won't snow tomorrow. So, I mean, but you can start thinking and drive yourself crazy. I find that if I meditate, and I find if I go back to my email, I get sent back to my mail, and I have three different kinds of emails, and I go back and I look and think, oh, my gosh, I haven't heard from this person in a while. Look at this beautiful email. I mean, and I can reach them on Skype. I can reach them any way I want, and that's the beauty in what I do, and the beauty in you, for you and in you is that look at all the people. You are getting on the track of feeling better, no side effects, no long-term side effects, no short-term side effects.
Yes.
And you don't have to read on the bottle, oh, well, you know, you could faint, you could die, you could this, you don't have to read that. crazy. Isn't that awful?
Right. Well, I agree with you. It is very rewarding often to be in on my end of things because I've
it
had
is. It has
numerous
to be.
People email me who have read the book Emotional Repatterning, and they've said, wow, this has been a life changer. I've implemented the suggestions you've made. My perspective is totally different, you know, and I mean, the turnaround that's possible simply in our perspective about ourselves and our lives and the people that we're in relationship to, if you change that perspective, which is yours to do, right, and you can't change the others, you can only change yourself. When we change our perspective about the problems that are ongoing, well, it's funny.
Yeah.
We get to see things from a different angle, and then suddenly we see solutions or opportunities that weren't there before. So I kind of feel like that's the work of emotional repatterning, to repattern our deep emotional selves so that we can change perspectives and look at things in a way that actually work for us, not against us, which I think is
right.
Basically what you're saying.
Yeah, and it's like even sometimes I get this idea, I'll put my headphones on, and I'm from Motown, I'm from Detroit, and I put on all my music, and I mean, I'm in another world. I mean,
right.
I'm dancing, my cat's looking at me like I'm nuts. What is she doing? What is Mom doing? She's dancing in her office. Well, you know, and I feel so happy doing that. And I think also, too, you have to find what makes you really happy. But for some people, I mean, what does really make you happy? I mean, can you get
right.
a list going? I don't know. For me,
well,
I mean,
I think one of the things that makes, yes, I think one of the things for me that makes me really happy is emotional connection. Like when I feel connected to
yes.
either my friends or my family, and when we kind of have that, you know, good feeling of understanding each other, of being
yes.
heard, of being seen, of being understood, wow, that's, to me, it's like, wow, that's bingo.
Well, you can do that with most anybody, because I feel this great emotional understanding with you, but I can hear it. I can hear it in your voice.
Oh, wow.
And,
thank you. That's
and
a nice
you
compliment.
Would not
That's
you
sweet.
Would not lead anybody astray. So I'm going to tell everybody that they need to go to Lisa, LisaSamet.com. And so you get a lot of people that are really off the deep end, like Lisa. I mean, does it
well,
really
not so much? I think that, you know, this is not psychotherapy. This is not, you know, deep Freudian emotional work. This is a bit more
mm-hmm.
light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't really in this work advocate therapy and talking about this and that and the other thing for 5 years. I'm more impatient than that. So I like to kind of get to it pretty quick and go in there and start to rewire the subconscious mind so we can see things from a different perspective. And so, you know, being impatient by nature probably has served me pretty well in this work, because I just want to kind of let's hold hands and jump, you know, let's go for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, let's get to
reorganize
it now. Let's
things.
Just not go around the block
yeah,
50 times.
That's
let's
it.
Just do this now. Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're
like
suffering.
That.
How much longer do we want to suffer? Why are we so patient
yeah.
with our own suffering?
See, yeah, you're a caregiver.
We should be
that's
more impatient.
You like to take care of. You do. You really, really do.
Yeah.
I
well,
do.
I like people to feel better, and I like results.
That's right.
So that's,
doesn't that make you,
know, you
feel
and,
good
and,
inside?
You know, I realize that not everybody can see me, and that's one of the reasons why I decided to write the book, because I think with the book, it's really a self-help tool. When you use emotional repatterning and you work on dealing with your deep subconscious beliefs, you're going to notice a shift. There's no question.
I believe that. I really, and I think a lot of us have deep-seated things that we, excess baggage that we have carried since we were little, and you're taught to do things a certain way, and, I mean, I'm kind of out of that mold because I really didn't have a lot of guidance there. I was kind of like, I just went off myself, but I really think it's important that everybody sits down with somebody like you and to understand themselves. And like this book, I mean, it's got to be tremendous. No wonder you're getting all of these wonderful comments about it. It's wonderful. It's just wonderful.
Thank you.
You know, I don't have it yet,
yeah,
but I will
have
it.
Yeah, I think it's, yeah, well, it's a fairly simple and straightforward approach, right? So it's not complicated
right.
and it's not heavy and it's not like, oh, my God. And, you know, it's really straightforward, it's really easy, and it really works. And so I think that that's one of the things that people have said about it. You know, they find emotional repatterning very approachable and I think that that's, you know, what you want when you're reading something at home, right? Because I'm not there to explain it to you in, you know, great detail. So it's got to be clear and it's got to be easily accessed.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to you reading it. Yeah, you're going to have to get a copy. We should have mailed you one.
I will.
Did we not do that?
No, I didn't get one. Mm-mm. Let me see. I'll get
we're
one.
Mail
not
you
to
one
worry.
Now.
Well, you know why? Because he's in the UK. He won't. It's real tough for him to send. I've asked for books from him, and he has not. You know, then I just let it go. You know, I figure, oh, well. You
okay.
Know, he's
well, you know, worst case, you know, we can mail you a PDF.
Yes.
You
yes.
Know, not the hard copy, but you know, you're going to get it on
exactly.
the computer. That's easy, so that you can.
Yes,
you can read
exactly.
it, and you can maybe even make some use out
no.
of it yourself, right? Because none of us are immune to this, right? We're all in the same boat
no.
as humans.
No, and you know, a lot of us too did not have help when we were little. Could not talk to anybody to help me understand
right.
and to say, no, you don't have to do it that way. You can do whatever you want. It doesn't have to be done that way. And when I was growing
right.
up, it had to be done that way. And,
right. Right.
you know, I work with my granddaughter. She's 17. And she's just so different than I am, but yet she's just like I am. And my son and I talk about it, too, that and his wife, my son, daughter-in-law. But I see a lot of her in me. But, you know, it's great working with really young people like that. You know, she's I just love it. I mean, I rise with that, too. It's like I'm on another plane. It's like doing my magazine. You give me, I mean, you know, somebody said, well, why don't you do this every day? I said, oh, my God, I'd be wiped out. You don't know what energy it takes, and you use your brain cells, and you get fried. You get, you know, you're doing images, and you're doing links, and you're sending it back to the author, and then, oh, I need a correction, and then it'll go up. And yeah, can you change that a little bit? Well, I don't mind doing any of that. I really, really don't, but it's a lot. And,
yeah.
But I'm grateful. I'm so grateful. What would I be doing? Eating
right.
chocolate
well,
and watching TV.
Exactly.
you
and,
doing?
You know, I think what we're all used to, you know, Walt Disney and, you know, all the fun and
yeah.
beautiful things. And it's a bit of a rude awakening when we realize life is not like that, right?
No.
Like life is often about suffering and difficulty and hardship and challenge.
And
I mean,
yes.
there are beautiful moments for sure, but life is hard
yes.
for most of us.
Yes.
And
yes, I would like to talk
things.
To you on Zoom because I can talk. I would talk to you about my. I mean, I lost my parents less than 5 months apart, and I was an
wow.
only child, and I didn't cry.
Mm-hmm.
That's something way
yeah.
back. And even when my husband passed, I didn't cry for him either. But that's a different. That's a different story. Well, so you see, that was a pattern. I had a pattern right there.
Yes.
That's,
well,
and
that's
I,
suppressed grief, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, I talk to myself a lot. I ask myself that question, well, why didn't you? I don't know. Well, I know because my father, I was close to my father. My mother, I was not. My mother was a taskmaster. She was Italian, very much. I don't want to call her a witch, but she was just very demanding, and my dad was this gentle soul.
Uh-huh.
Now, and my husband was very demanding, more like my mother.
Right.
So, but he ended up getting Alzheimer's, so that's a whole other story, and I don't want to talk about that, but one day I'll connect with you on Zoom or something, and it'd be good info for you because it would help what you could take something from it. I just know you would get something
yeah.
from it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you would.
Well, working
okay,
with
so,
people is an education, right?
That's right. That's right. And, you know, that's why I like to do what I do, because I bring people like yourself out to the world because they might not ever know who you are. I don't like that. I want everybody
yeah.
to know who you are. Well, it's true, you know. And I have Candy in the chat room. She does everything, and we change the time. And I called her. I says, well, I need you to work those magic fingers. She says, uh-oh, what's wrong? I said, well, we're bumping it up a half hour. She said, okay, no problem. So she had to go to Twitter and everybody.
Okay,
and
good.
Changed
well, I
all
tried
the time.
To do that because I knew you were stressed about your storm. So I was like,
yes,
I tried to juggle my schedule,
to
but really. I was able to do that.
It is starting
okay,
to rain,
well,
and it's
yeah.
real still out, but I'm not worried about it. I
yeah.
got my closet.
Mm-hmm.
I got my closet, Lisa. I'll just go in there. It's under the peak. I have flood insurance.
Oh,
I have homeowners. Yes, I have flood insurance here. Well, you don't have to, but I do. But anyways, So, you know, and I have, yeah, and I'm sure, now who do you go to? I want to ask that. Who do you go to if you have any?
Well, I have a colleague that we often exchange, you know, these kinds of emotional repatterning sessions. And
okay. When
I hit bumps in my life, which of course I do, it's really helpful to put yourself in somebody else's hands and let her guide
yes.
you through the process. And, you know, it really does work. When you change your deep perspective on things, suddenly it's much easier to cope with the outside world and much easier to live with yourself.
And, you know, I think sometimes we are too hard on ourselves. I think we are just too hard on ourselves. We beat ourselves up. And, you know, the thing of it is, be the best that you can be. And try
yeah.
to do things that you love. I mean, if you can. You know, I mean, I had 3 jobs at one time. I mean, I just loved all 3 of them, and I didn't want to quit.
Oh,
know?
Wow. Well, that works well.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
I worked in, my son had a business. I was part owner. I worked there. I worked at a tennis club, and I started my online stuff. So I was a busy little bee. But, you know, and I thrived. And now when I think back to that, I'll say, you see, that made you really happy. Look how busy you were because
mm-hmm.
you were doing for everybody else. And that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love it. I love it so much. I'm just
yeah.
so
well,
happy.
That's it, you know?
Yeah. So I have found something that
yeah.
I'm happy with. And I have people online that I can talk to. That's good. But, okay, so now this book, when did this book come out?
It shipped in April, so we're about a little over 3 months in.
Okay. Are you working on anything else?
You know, it's a good question. I've had a couple of ideas. I've jotted some notes down. I've had a few people approach me who have read the book and said, hey, you should write about this topic or you should write about that topic. And so I've kind of just scribbled some things down and, you know, things are kind of percolating.
Right.
You know, this book reached 500 sales in less than 2 months, so I was super excited about that. So there's definitely
yes.
an audience there, and I think people resonate with the fact that they're tired of being miserable and tired of suffering and tired of feeling so stuck in their lives, and they want to find, you know, a different approach. So I think that, you know, there's a huge number of people on antidepressants, anti-anxiety pills, and a lot of other ways of coping with the misery that, you know, is part sometimes of being human. And, you know, those things maybe have their place, but I think, again, like we said at the beginning of the conversation, I'm not sure they solve anything. They're just, you know, something that kind of helps manage certain symptoms. So if people get to the point where they're saying, you know what, I just want to go into the real deep roots of it and fix the problems as they are, well, this is kind of an interesting way to approach it, I think. It's not very painful. It's very straightforward, you know. It's a matter of just going in and finding out what your subconscious beliefs are and realizing the ones that don't really work for you. And there's a very
exactly.
detailed instruction there about how to do that.
Right, right. Like even grief.
Yeah,
sometimes
of course.
You,
grief is often about lack of acceptance, right? You know, like
yeah.
I had a patient maybe a year ago who lost her mom, who had gone into surgery for a very, very benign operation. It was just a very simple, straightforward thing. And, you know, she kissed her mom goodbye at the hospital, said, I'll see you in a couple of hours, and, you know, all good. And she waited there. And a few hours later, the doctor came out and said, I'm really sorry to tell you this, but your mom died. She didn't make it. And it wasn't like a big surgery. She wasn't really sick. It was a relatively small thing. And my patient was just, you know, completely shocked. She had 3 young kids. Her mother was her best friend. And my patient was in complete shock and grief. Well, fast forward 3 years later, because I did not see her in those 3 years because she was in such a bubble of her own misery that she didn't even reach out to me. 3 years later, she comes into my office and she says, you know, I have been in a depression for 3 years because my mom died and I missed her every single day. And I, you know, I'm raising my kids without the benefit of her help. And, you know, I'm so shocked that she died. And, you know, she went on and she told me the story. And, you know, I said, well, it sounds to me like you don't accept the fact that your mom died. And she said, of course I don't accept it. She shouldn't have died. I mean, of course she shouldn't have died. She went in for XYZ
right.
procedure. She was supposed to be out in 2 hours and now she's gone, you know, and of course I don't accept it. I said, well, that's the problem. You know, it's like we have to accept that your mom died because you can't begin the grieving until you accept what happened. I mean, arguing with reality is a losing battle every single time.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Your mom died.
It doesn't do any good.
She's supposed to die. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And, you know, people don't necessarily want that kind of hard truth. But in my view of the world, things happen exactly as they should, which doesn't mean they're fun. It just means that that's exactly how
it's
they happen.
I know. It's not all a walk in the park. It really is not. You know, I don't know. I'd have to look back before when I was a little girl. It probably will tell me some things. But I just... You know, I'm really close to my son, and that it's wonderful, but it bothers me in a sense because I told him, I said, well, you know, when something happens, I said, I want you to remember all the wonderful things, all the memories. Keep making memories. And he said, Mom, I'll be okay. His dad was his best friend, really. And we have, he's very sentimental. He's very... sweet and kind, and he said, I'll be okay. I looked at him, and I said, well, I mean, I know you're saying you will be, but I think it's going to be tough on you. I mean, we talk every day. Sometimes he comes over because I'm just like 6 or 7 minutes down the road. And so that bothers me, and I worry about it, but I can't worry about it because I can't do anything about it. I can't,
right.
I can't say, well, okay, I'm not going to talk to you anymore, you know?
Right,
you know,
exactly. That wouldn't
work.
So
it's tough. It's tough when you're thinking about it. You're the other person, and you're worried and concerned about the person that you're going to leave behind. You know, but that's, you know, I work on that every day. I don't think about it, but I do think about it. I'm getting older, but, you know, hey, life can be taken away at any moment in time. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter anything. It just, look at the people down in Florida, just like that. It's just
Yeah, exactly. That's
gone.
A good illustration of it.
Yes, it really is. Now, you know, I kind of grieve for them. I feel so bad for those people that are watching. And boy, that would be a tough road, Lisa. You'd have your work cut out for you with them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people, because they're looking at this pile and they're saying, well, my mother's in there somewhere, or child, or they better get some kind of help because they're going to need it. It's just, that doesn't, you don't escape that easily. That's devastating. That's,
absolutely.
You know, just like 9/11, same kind of thing. It's just, and then I always question God, because I talk to God every day. I don't know how you believe, but I talk to him every day and say, wasn't a good move, you know. I do get angry. I get angry about it. Well, at least I can get angry at him. What's he going to do to me? Okay, I'm going to fix you, Natalie. No. it's a way of expressing yourself. I express myself that way. But you know, the work you're doing is just wonderful. You are you're helping so many people to look at their lives differently and change things, repattern, if you will, reboot, you know, shut it off and turn it back on again, but you in a better way. Because when you reboot something, and everybody should know that about computers, you add a change, you got to reboot it so it accepts it. So, okay, it's going to accept that change that you did, that reboot that you're going to do, and change how you feel. And, of course, you know, they can come talk to you because I think you're a great wealth of information. You can really guide. I can hear it in your voice. I can hear it.
Thank you, Natalie. That's super
Well,
sweet.
And not only how you've talked to me, saying, well, you know, you have grief issues. You have, obviously, you have to go way back and find out, why did she do this? Why did she not do this?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell people, it does affect you in some way. I mean, you know, I get upset about the slightest things for other people, things that happen, and animals, and what I was telling you. So that could have something to do with all of it. I'm sure it's got something to do with all of it. So hopefully one day soon, I'm gonna talk to you, and I can be one of your cases. Oh, I had a doozy of a case on this one.
Right about you.
Because, but
well,
it's
we're
true.
All carrying a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Well, it's excess baggage. You know, it's just excess. And,
yeah.
And people, I was thinking to myself the other day, why can't people just be nice to everybody and smile like I do? I say, how's your day going? Is there anything I can help you with? Even if I'm at a store that I don't even work in, I ask to help.
Right.
It's just the way I am. And isn't that funny? Now put this in your mind. I wasn't taught that at all. I mean, my
right.
mother was nice
yeah,
to
yeah,
people.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But
well,
I learned
it. But our parents, yeah, our parents didn't necessarily have the skills that we would have wished, right?
Right. My dad had it. My dad did. But, yeah, he was, like I said, a gentle soul. Very calm, you know, mind. And he was just, his personality, I mean, I don't think I ever really heard him yell. And my mother's name was Mary. Well, whatever Mary wants. Oh, God, he shouldn't have said that to her. but you know, Lisa, oftentimes we're like one of our parents.
Yeah.
We do get stuff from our parents, you know. I have leadership
yeah, for
ability
sure.
from her. I have things like that. So I do respect that, and I'm grateful for that kind of stuff. But you must do another book. You must.
Okay. Well, thank you for the encouragement. I'm the
yes.
wheels are busy spinning around and turning and, you know, trying
good.
To think about what would resonate with people and what's the most needed. So, yeah,
exactly.
I think we'll...
And
we'll
I've
get
got
back together in a year or so when the next one's out.
Yeah, you'll be back on my site. I mean, you'll be back on my show, on my site. Yeah, so I want everybody to go to your site and just look it over and see what the book is about. It's LISASAMET.com. She speaks truth. She will tell you things that you've probably thought, maybe that's how I feel. Maybe that's what
right.
I am. You know, and like she says
yeah.
here, transforming old emotional patterns into a new way of being. I'm telling you.
Right.
It works, and it's true. It's true. It really is, because I do it with myself. I try. I try to be really strong and keep doing what I love. That's talking to beautiful
well,
people
great.
Like you, doing my magazine.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, I can't thank you enough for the work that you do. Because you're doing a
oh,
great job.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on your show and the opportunity to talk with you and talk about what I love and what I do and my new book.
Exactly.
Emotional Thank
a,
you so much,
nice
Natalie.
Part. Yeah, and it's not a Q&A. There was no list of questions and answers and waiting for your answers or anything. That's how I like to talk to people. I like to go back a little
right.
bit and then come forward. And, yes, I will. I'm going to set up something with you so we can kind of unravel my life.
Okay, I look forward.
Yes. Thank you so much for being on my show. It's been wonderful.
All right. Take good care.
And I'm going to try to say her book again here, Emotional Repatterning, right?
Woo! You got it.
Well, that's because
great.
It's in front of me.
That's
I'm on
good,
your site. Well, you have
a good
hyphen.
Note to leave on.
Repatterning. So think
right.
of it as a reboot. I'm going to change something, and I'm going to come back. And it's going to be that much better. That's what it is. That's what it is.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Well, you're awesome. I'll be in touch with you. I've got your – see, once I have your email, it's all over for you. Because I'm going to get something for the August issue also. And I'm going to see if Gavin has sent me a PDF because I'm really going to read it because it's probably going to really help. So with that, we're going to say goodbye to everybody, and you're going to love how I end my show. I always do it the same. And Candy's listening, and she's saying, yes, yes, she will do the same thing. It's believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And see you on Friday, 3 o'clock. There'll be a note on stars with a zpsychics.com about my guest, just like Lisa's there. And go to her site. Look for the book. I mean, you could probably get it at Amazon, right, Lisa?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's on all booksellers.
Okay, yes. And that's LISASAMET.com. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Candy. And my friend is listening. She missed most of the show, but she would have loved it. She would have been sending me messages. Yes, 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 this is good. This is good. I mean, she'll tell me.
Good to have some cheerleaders.
I do. It's my champ. Those are my champions. I call them my champions. Isn't that funny?
That's great.
Yeah, that's what I call them. They are. Have a great evening, honey. And
okay,
I love you. You're wonderful. Okay, yes, and with
thank
that,
so
now
much.
We're going to play some music, and let me see, Candy, here it is. It's Free to Love, and this is music that, I forget what her name is. What's her name? Let me find out what her name is. Gabby Ray. Thank you, Candy, because she's listening. Have a good evening, everybody. No rain yet, so maybe I won't have to go in my closet.
If everyone could be who they were really meant to be, without limitations, discrimination, this world could show all its colors, so get the chip off your shoulder.
Friday, 3 to 4, we have another great guest. Looks like I have a couple sessions for quite a few weeks now. But anyways, have a great evening, and I'm still safe, and I'm going to have some dinner, and I'm not in my closet. So that's a bonus right there, right? Okay, love to all of you, and please, be safe out there, okay? Bye-bye.
Peace.